late. I wish I didn't sleep so late. I used to be carried in the arms of Juliet. I used to be carried in the arms of Juliet. I used to be carried in the arms of Juliet.
Clone Radio. LA's infinite repeat. How we feeling out there? How's your drive time commute? I need a saga. What's the saga? It's songs for the deaf. You can't even hear it.
You're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Jamie. Welcome to a show that I'm subbing for. I'm not your typical DJ for this time slot. I'm subbing for all the geets. Decided to come on in, drop by the studio, because I actually missed my show. I actually have a show Sundays 1 to 2 called We're Having Fun, where I play music. Hey! Something different, and I can't really I was away. I came back today, and then I saw this spot open, and I just went for it, and here I am. It's good to be back. How am I doing? I'm good. I'm good. I spent some time with the family because I went home for Easter. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's pretty big where I'm from. That was Queens of the... You just heard Queens of the Stone Age. You think I ain't worth a dollar, but I feel like a millionaire. Off of Songs from the Deaf, their 2002 release. A great listen if you're into that desert stoner rock, or if you're just into rock. I highly recommend. Because the theme is like, it's like a concept album. The theme is like some person driving through the desert and they're tuning the station and like trying to find tunes, and they just keep coming up on a great album, I guess. That's the theme of it. I don't know. I don't have a real plan because I thought I'd have a guest with me, but unfortunately, she cannot make it on the air. So I'm just kind of here as usual. And you think I have a lot of experience with this. I've been doing this for a couple of years. Not a lot compared to... I'd have a decent amount of experience, but honestly, I usually come into these things with something of a plan. You know, I have my transitions down. I have a track list. I have the and the appropriate transitions. I have some maybe talking points. I don't really have any of that right now. I have some songs queued up, but in no particular order. And I was gonna play some songs, and then my girlfriend just texted me saying, "Hey, it's not all. Is your music gonna be horrible?" and to be honest, I don't think so. But music, subjective, whatever. So I got some tunes lined up. I guess I could talk about some other stuff too. But for now, I'm just gonna play some stuff. Also, feel free to call in for request numbers 855-915-WMFO. If you don't know what letters are, 855-915-9636. Hey, let's turn that email off. Get that quick notification out of here. If you're currently doing quality control on this hour, just let that one slip for now. Just let it slide right under your radar.
0-1-1-1-1-0-0-1-1. Crying zeros and I'm hearing 1-1-1. Cut my summer soul, summer backflip. Poor summer, summer, poor summer. Here's me.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Minor technical difficulties. On 91.5 WMFO Medford with Darling off their new album In Mind, which is not as good as I'd like it to be. Sorry about those technical difficulties there. I was playing off of a YouTube video and the internet was being wonky, so it didn't actually cut it until, you know, it's fine. You know, you've already forgotten about it at that point. You might be thinking, Jamie, what were those horse noises doing in the background? I forgot about those two. I was playing the music video. The music video, it's basically the band playing with a real horse just walking around and being a horse. I thought it was CGI at first because it looks very CGI, but it's a real horse and they're just playing it and the horse is knocking things over and getting all up in their business, and they're surprisingly calm about it. I wonder how many takes that took. All right, what else? I don't know. Oh, I guess maybe a PSA? Why not a PSA? Man, I can't get enough of this binder that they've... This bind... Oh. Hear that? Might as well be fresh off the shelf. The other one was loose and flaccid and just flopped. The rings had no discipline. They just lost. Yeah, it's too bad. But this binder is prime. This binder is... it's a prime bind. The Tufts Department of Drama and Dance presents Spring Dance Weekend with performances on April 21st, 22nd, 23rd in the Jackson Dance Lab at 50 Talbot Ave. What happens when movement invention is sparked by solutions to movement problems rather than music or emotion? What happens when we focus on movement for its own sake, allowing a narrative to emerge rather than imposing one? What if we abandon showing and focus instead on doing in collaboration with others? Find out on Friday, April 21st and Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Join dancers of the dance repertory and performance performance class under the direction of guest artist June Kuribayashi as they explore these ideas alongside work by graduating dance minors Jane Acker, Nelly Agosta, Teresa Ho, and Miriam Priven. Then on Sunday, April 23rd at 5 p.m., join artists from the School of Arts and Sciences and the School of Museum of Fine Arts for an afternoon of new work and current works in progress. Get your tickets online at TuftsDramaDanceTickets.com or in person at the Balch Arena box office in the Attic Arts Center. A message from the Tufts Department of Drama and Dance and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Woo! That was a mouthful. Jane, she does a lot for the station. She's assistant general manager /PD. Basically PD. Man, she does a lot for the station, and she's dancing. So go support. Why not? Anyway, I don't know. Is there anything to talk about? I got this email from this reporter from the Daily. Or no, from the Observer. I apologize, the Observer. They're writing an article about this other show that's on the air right now. And look, I don't want to, first of all, look, I'm not out to cause any beef, all right? That's not the goal here. I just want to give my two cents. People can talk about what they want to, as long as it's not harmful or hate speech. I'm just going to give my two cents on this matter. I got an email from a writer from The Observer, whose name shall remain anonymous, and they are writing an article about another show on the air called Chuck Morse Speaks, which is a conservative radio show hosted by Chuck Morse, you probably guessed, and it's on, I think, Tuesdays from 10 to 11, so I get to wake up to it on Tuesdays before class. But apparently he's been saying some, according to this email, he's been saying Islamophobic things on air, like Islamic law is not compatible with American democracy and that the religion kills women. For those just tuning in, I don't agree with this. He said, since the influx of Muslim immigrants in this country, there's been an increase in these sorts of killings, and for reasons that are quite interesting, the New York Times, which is the left-leading establishment mouthpiece, doesn't report this. They'll report that there was a killing, that a girl was killed by her father or her brother, but they don't report that the family was Muslim. They leave that out. He also calls Tufts Bias Reports thought police and are concerned with political... He also calls Tufts Bias Reports quote-unquote thought police that are concerned with political correctness. I apologize. You sent this email like over 2 weeks ago. I just didn't respond. I feel so bad. I should respond, but I didn't respond... I guess in part because I feel like I'm not educated enough on this matter to really give a super informed opinion about it. And I also come from a place of very high privilege. So I feel like this doesn't affect me directly, which, like, whatever Chuck Morse says, like the opinions that he might influence do not affect me, directly. So I can't really, you know, I'm afraid that whatever I say will basically reflect my privilege and I guess ignorance to an extent. But I think in terms of reflecting on the station, I've never really thought of WMFO as like, I mean, sure, you could call it a quote unquote community, but I've never thought of it as like who, like this guy, like there's such a wide variety of voices on like, and opinions, you know, that come on the station every day, every week. You know, and I never, like, there's just such different personalities. There are so many people involved with the station that I've never really thought of it as, like if one person said, like, if Chuck Morse says these things, I've never thought of it as, like, I feel ashamed. Like, I'm not, it's, it, you know, it's an hour it's an hour out of the week, you know? It's an hour out of the week for this dude. And it's not like he doesn't know, it's not like he's just spouting off, you know? It's not like he's completely ignorant. I mean, we can get to that, but like, it's not like he's just spouting, he's been doing this for years. He's no stranger to this sort of, to this format, I guess. And he, you know, WMFO gave him an outlet, and, you know, and it's an hour a week for him to, and I, you know, he talks about other stuff. Like, I've heard his show, you know, he doesn't log his show, which he should be, because, so, like, you can't actually go back and listen to the show on the website after it airs, because there's nothing to listen to. So he doesn't log his discourse or anything like that, which is, you know, it's, so you don't know exactly what he says, but, you know, he's, like, very much pro-Trump, which, you know, he's very much pro-Trump. He talks a lot about, you know, Trump, and, like, which, you know, on its own is fine, like, talk about whatever you want, but he also talks about, yeah, I've heard him talk negatively about the Black Lives Matter movement as well, and then people call in and then they basically call him out for stuff. People basically call him out for stuff, and he wants to have discourse. It sounds like he wants that discourse. He's not just like some angry man on the radio, but that doesn't excuse the fact that he has said Islamophobic things. It really comes down, I guess, to what you would, like, how you would define hate speech. I've shown this, I've read this quote that I read, excuse me, I read this quote, to friends of mine, all of whom go here, so in the liberal camp, almost exclusively, and some say that what he says is technically hate speech, some say that it isn't. I personally don't know, because I don't know this, you know. But if it is, you know, he has every right to be kicked off. But if it's not, I don't know what the technical classification of hate speech is. Because I think there's a difference, and it's important to make a difference between uninformed talk and straight up hate speech. again, this quote that he's saying, it could very well be. I don't know. But if it is, then by all means, this should be taken care of. And this is the responsibility of the board. Of the executive board, you know, but you can't just go around labeling everything. Like, if someone is ignorant, I don't know, if you label everything, I just feel like it's kind of dangerous to jump onto hate speech immediately. That's just my opinion. I think it's dangerous to, you know, I think it's dangerous to label. If there's something that is ignorant, uninformed, like, it could very well be hate speech, but I think there needs to be, like, it needs to be looked into and investigated by the FCC, by people who are trained to do this sort of thing, by the FCC. And obviously, hate speech, you know, like, what does that even mean? You know, it's entirely, it's entirely subjective. I mean, to an extent. You can tell when things are, I don't know, it's just like, where is that line between spouting off ignorantly and not? I think the main problem is that he just doesn't cite his sources, and he just says these things, and he just doesn't really back up his opinions with anything. I've listened to the show, and it's a lot of opinions, and honestly, it's just like, I don't know. In an hour out of the week, it is a lot, and I'm not saying that, like, I don't know. It's just like, when you get all these people, if you give someone a voice, like, if you have this outlet to give someone a voice, like, of course people are going to take advantage of that for whatever their motives are, and that is the responsibility of the exec board to handle these situations. So I guess that's my two cents on the matter. It's really too bad, though. It's really too bad that this is a show on it, because, yeah, in my opinion, it does promote hate, and I'm leaning more towards hate speech about this, you know, about what he's saying. But again, it's not my call. It's the board's. It's not even the board's call. It should be the FCC's call. And we don't have Paul. Like, we don't. The WMFO doesn't have a content policy. They have no right to just take them off the air. They can't do that. they can't do that unless the FCC gives them reason to. Otherwise, it's if what he's saying isn't to, and yeah, so and you can be sure you can be aware. You can say I'm not saying that like you can like if he doesn't intend to be hate speech, like it's not hate speech. Like of course if it can be hate speech if you don't intend it to be hate speech. Of course you can like it can still seem like it has that intent. But what I'm saying is that this isn't the call of this. This should be like an FCC matter. And like what did you think was gonna happen? Also, this isn't the first time like something like this has happened on the air either. There have been, it's just like in the age of Trump, it's just like everything is turned up to it. Like in the age of Trump, it's people, I guess, are more, you know, vocal. I'm sure people are more vocal about it, you know, about their opinions. But there have been situations on the station in the past there have been instances similar to this where people say these sorts of things. And that's what happens when you give people a voice. So I guess that's my response. I don't know exactly. What people have talked about. I've just heard that people say like hateful things, likely Islamophobic or at least racist things, even if they don't intend it. That's what happens when you have a station that has such little regulation of its content. And you get, you know, non-students in here. But look, I'm not opposed to, I don't want to dig myself into a hole here. I'm not opposed to, it's important to get, you know, the best shows on this station are from community members. But again, if you open yourself up to the person who I'm subbing for is probably listening to this like, oh my God, what if I, what is he doing? Just play more music. No one wants to hear this stuff. Yeah. I feel like I still have to formulate my opinions on it further. But yeah, that's basically my two cents on the matter. In short, they need to contact the FCC or they need to read up on policies. Otherwise, they can't do anything. They can't take this guy's show away unless he violates it. She violates other stuff, other WMFO policies too. But then if you kick him off because of those, like just in terms of like conduct on the radio. But if you violate, if you call him out for those, like just something as simple as not logging shows. But if you target him for that, it's obviously like lots of DJs do that. Lots of DJs could technically, you know, get warnings for, you know, not being quote unquote good DJs. But like you can't just target this one guy. Well, my girlfriend's telling me to stop being so PC about it. So I guess I'll just play some music. Thanks for listening. If you're still listening, I'd be shocked if you're still tuning in right now. Probably a bunch of my friends are listening too. Nope. 8 consistent. All right. How about some more tunes, shall we? Yeah. Ooh, here's one. Here's a real throwback. Reign of Kindo. You ever heard of them? You ever heard of this group? They're all right. All right. are the Strokes on 91.5 WMFO Medford with the Modern Age. Is this at 2001? If you haven't listened to that, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you listening to the radio if you haven't heard that album? Go listen to it. It's very influential. I hated it when I first heard it. Is this it? I thought it was the worst thing ever. I couldn't stand the vocals. How they were distorted or whatever. I thought the songwriting was lame and boring. I hated it. Needless to say, it's all right. No, that song is, if there's one song to define my junior year of high school, it would be that one, probably. Playing that on the car ride home from school, all angsty and whatever, trying to mimic that Julian Casablancas trademark croon. That's all I wanted was just, it was a croon like Jules, but that never came to be. Although who knows? Harry Styles put out a new album recently, not album, song, and it's not bad at all. Actually, it's pretty good. It's a decent tune. Sign of the Times, I think it's called. Ooh, now I can't play it. I might play it later. It's good. It's good. It's very dramatic. The chord progression's kind of basic, but it's not bad. It's very heartfelt. His voice is good. It's a little long. It's almost 6 minutes, which is pushing it in terms of song duration. But it's not bad. Go listen to it. I think that might be the first time that someone has talked about a song on the... Not the first time. Very rarely does one probably talk about a song on the station and then not play it. And the truth is, I mean, I could play it. I might play it. Maybe. I don't know. I like to play songs that I really like, though. And I don't know. Not sure I'm really digging that. But just a suggestion. Before that, Reign of Kindo with Till We Make Our Ascent. That song is a lot of fun to drum to. Very hard to drum to. But so much fun. They're a good band. I was super into them in high school, too. They're not super well known. They have, let's see, how many plays does that have on Spotify? Oops. I'm playing off Spotify. There's no smoke and mirrors here. I'm going to be transparent about it. 357,000 plays on Spotify. That's a decent amount. Only 18,000 monthly listeners, though. Listen to them. They're really good. They're kind of cheesy. A lot of stuff is very cheesy. The lyrics are kind of not childish, but like kind of, I don't know. You cause sometimes you just listen to them and you're like, "Bleh." Dramatic. Ugh. But it's a good... The album's called Rhythm, Chord, and Melody. And I think that full album is on Spotify. And I think they have a sampler of their next album after that. But, yeah. Big fan of Reign of Kindo. Apparently, the lead singer is a pretty cool guy, too, from what I've heard. Because they recorded at this studio that I visited. And I was like, oh, Reign of Kindo. And they're like, yeah, he's there. They're really cool. They're a cool band. I don't know. Does it matter if artists are cool or, like, if the people in the band are cool? I don't know. Hey, another hot topic coming at ya. I don't know. I think it certainly plays a role. I know. Big leap. I've been listening to this album called Benji by this artist Sunkill Moon. Not sure if you've heard of him, but he is kind of a jerk. He is a singer-songwriter guitarist who has played music for a while, and he made some really crappy comments. This is old news, but I don't care. In 2014, he was playing a festival, the same festival this band called The War on Drugs was playing at, a band that I personally enjoy. I love their Bruce Springsteen covers. That one was for me. I like The War on Drugs, the band. Apparently they were playing in separate stages, and it was, first of all, it's not their fault. It's not the War on Drugs' fault. It's the festival's fault for scheduling, because Sunkill Moon's quiet and acoustic, often acoustic, and War on Drugs is louder, more like Heartland rock stuff. And Sunken Moon got mad because their sound was leaking over. And I can hardly imagine how... I imagine it's very frustrating to be playing a quiet, intimate song and then just hear, like, Red Eyes just playing, just blasting faintly in the distance. Like, yeah, I'm sure that's distracting, upsetting. And he kind of went on a tirade about it. And then, I'm not going to go into details, partially because I don't remember all the nitty-gritty stuff, but he was kind of a jerk to the... He was kind of a meanie to the lead guy. I forget what he did, but he sent emails back and he was like, "I'm gonna write a song about you guys if you don't." No, he said, "Here's backstage passes to my show." Like, I don't know. He went on some tirade about it, and the War on Drugs heard about it, and then he apologized, and he was like, "Wait, no, just kidding. I'm gonna look this up because I don't want to spread misinformation over the waves, Chuck Morse style. I don't want to do that." The War on Drugs, Sun Kill Moon. Let's see here what happened. He made some comments. He's also gotten in trouble with audiences, calling them names and stuff. Oh, and then so at the concert, and then he played a song. He said, "I hate that beer commercial lead guitar bleep. This next song is called 'The War on Drugs Can Suck My Bleeping Bleep.'" He continued to throw insults the band's way throughout the remainder of the set. Blah blah blah, and then yeah. So apparently, War on Drugs heard about that, and then they responded. And then Mark Kosta like basically apologized, and then he went and like put out this. He like recorded the song and then put like that War on Drugs bleep song, and he put it out. It's not a great recording, but he released it, and people could listen to it, and it's kind of like tongue in cheek, but still. So he's kind of a jerk. He's also insulted music journalists at his shows. He's insulted audiences. He's just all around not the best guy. And also, he's like 50. His name is Mark Kozlik, by the way. That's his name. 67. Yeah, he's 50 years old. That is not acceptable behavior from someone who has lived for 5 decades. For someone who is halfway to 100, in my opinion, that's so immature. Honestly, even if you're like playing it tongue in cheek, like, and even if it is frustrating, like, that's not the way to handle things. I don't know. He's gotten in a lot of controversies with people, and it's like, you should, yeah, I don't know. But I love his music, is the thing. His music is some of my favorite at the moment. So I don't really know how to feel about that, you know? It's not like he said, like, hateful things about, you know, like, it's not like he's like a huge racist, or it's like, you know, he's, you know, he's like a bigot. He's just like a kind of a mean guy, and I don't know how I feel about that, you know. I can listen to this album Benji. I can listen to it and then not think about how much of a jerk he is, partially because Benji came out before all this stuff started going down, and then he's put out 2 albums since, which I don't like as much. But It's tough because I'll listen to this album and like I can enjoy the album, but I always think like, wow, this dude's like kind of a D, you know. And I guess I can, in situations like this, I think it's easy to separate the artist. It, like, as I said, it's like relatively easy to separate the art from the artist in cases where it's like the artist is like kind of a petty bit of a prick, you know. But in the case of someone like Azealia Banks, who is like flipping insane, she defends it by saying she has mental illness. If anything, she stigmatizes it, I feel like. And there was some, I don't agree with Pitchfork a lot, but they put out an article about it. Where it was like, where they, yeah, basically said she further stigmatizes mental illness. Because she does all these crazy things. She says these terrible things. She does these insane things. And then she blames it on mental mental illness when she hasn't, she's never, like, it's not, we haven't even confirmed that she's diagnosed with anything. It just sort of, it puts forth the stereotype, the belief that, you know, all people with mental, or people with mental illness behave this way generally. That, in that case, yeah. You know, also she didn't write Benji, you know, so I guess that's different. If Mark Kozelek did that, I would probably think twice about listening to his stuff. Same with, like, Foxygen. I was doing a show, and this caller called in, and they requested the song to play Derp Derp Der. And I said, yeah, sure. And then I played a Foxygen song. And then as I was playing the song, Foxygen is a rock duo. They're just a rock band. She calls back and then she says, hey, like, why would you play this song? Like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, what? And then she said the lead singer was allegedly abusive towards his partner, who is the same artist, basically the artist who the song that she requested, like, that the singer behind that basically was this lead singer, Foxygen's girlfriend, and he was abusive towards her, and so she thought that I was like doing this to mock, like, in spite. And I honestly had no idea. It was frankly a pretty incredible coincidence, because I had set the track list before even, like, getting this call. I usually, you know, make my playlists beforehand. So it was a pretty incredible coincidence, and I apologized. And now I honestly have a difficulty listening to that band. I've listened to their new album, Hang, and there are a couple songs on it that I like. And it's, you know, it's also hard because it's alleged, you know, you don't know the facts. It's just, you have both sides of the story, and you have accounts of different people, and also the lead singer by himself is also not the best, not a great person. So I've had a hard time listening to that band, you know? So I think it depends on the situation and the kind of person, and everyone has stuff, you know? It's not like no, obviously no musician's perfect. You know, everyone has stuff that they don't, and some are just more open about it than others. You know, Tom York, for example, probably, I don't know, maybe Tom York's a terrible person, and, you know, the lead singer of my favorite band, lead singer songwriter of my favorite band is secretly the worst guy ever. But I hope not. It largely depends, I think, on the degree to which this person is, you know, degree to which this person is respectable, and how much I like their music before. It's hard. It's tough. And I'm also not supporting abusers. I stopped listening to their music because of that. I didn't mean to be in support of Foxygen, or I stopped listening to the music, basically. I don't really listen to it anymore because, yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. You know, and I think that, like, if I just, like, straight up didn't know. It was just, like, a really weird coincidence. I don't know. It was one of the more odd experiences I've ever had on the radio. And I hope that person, to that person out there, I am sorry. So yeah, there's that. I'm being called out right now. I'm being called out for being overly PC, which, okay. I don't think I'm being overly PC, but whatever, it's fine. I don't know. Like Kanye West, you know. Kanye West, he's, again, hasn't said hateful stuff, but he's, you know, he's very outspoken, and he shares probably a lot of the same opinion. This is why if I was ever famous, I would just throw myself under the bus immediately with these opinions. Man, I know why people don't do interviews or don't want to do interviews. He probably has negative opinions. Like, there are a lot of negative opinions about him, and I really didn't like him for a while. I mean, after the whole Taylor Swift debacle and like how he almost, like, when Beck won that Grammy and then he almost went up and then didn't go up, like, that's still kind of, like, that's such an immature thing to do. But, like, that's not enough for me to stop listening to his music, you know? And, like, he's just more vocal, you know? And he's a creative genius who is just more vocal than most. And, like, that's you know, that's fine. And maybe that's how I justify the situation with Mark Kozlik, the Sunkill Moon guy. You know, maybe he's just, he's not too different from, he's not exceptionally bad, but he's just more vocal about his opinions. So there you go. Whatever. He put out a song called War on Drugs. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, dude? Why would... I listened to it. It's not a good song. It's not good. You listen to Benji, and then you listen to that. It's like, dude, I don't even know. What if I just played Sunkill Moon? I'm going to do that. I'm going to play me out with... He writes some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. I'm not going to stop listening to him because he said some mean things to someone once. You know? I'm not going to do... Like, whatever. You know? It's just... He's very... Whatever. His music is very mature, though, which is weird. All right. Look. This has been too much talk. This is the most I've ever talked on a radio broadcast. This is Jamie. I do a show Sundays, 1 to 2 p.m., on this very station called We're Having Fun. I just play tunes. I don't talk as much. So if you're not into this, but you're into the music-y stuff, then feel free to tune into that every Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. I'm gonna play myself out with some Sunkill Moon. Thanks so much for listening. This is 91.5 WMFO Med. Oh, it's so long. Oh, it's a long song, too. Oh, I got to choose a shorter one. Okay, let's see. Oh, crap. Okay. Oh boy. Oh, this is a good one. All right. This should get me to the end. All right. Take it easy.
I woke up this morning, August 3rd. It's been a pretty slow and uneventful summer. Went to visit a friend in Santa Fe. Went to New Orleans and went to see my family. Woke up this morning and it occurred I needed one more track to finish up the record. I was feeling out of fuel and uninspired. Laid in my bed too long, a little down, a little tired. Met my girl and we walked down Union Street. I was scattered and my head was in a bunch of places. Bought a $350 pair of lampshades. And we ate at Perry's and I ordered crab cakes. Blue crab cakes. Blue crab cakes. She said I seemed distracted and asked what was going on with me. I said I can't explain it, it's a middle-aged thing. She said okay and ate her eggs Benedict. And I looked at the walls cluttered with sports bar shit. Sports bar shit. Sports bar shit. Sports bar shit. Ba ba ba. Ba ba ba. Ba ba. Called my mother, called my father, talked a little bit with my sister. She's got a new boyfriend, he's a deer hunter, and she's getting used to venison. And my dad's still fighting with his girlfriend about his flirting with the girls at Panera Bread. My mom was good but sounded out of breath. I worry so much about her, I worry to death. I worry to death. I worry about her to death. The other night I went and saw the postal service. Ben's my friend. remember getting there was the worst. Trying to park and getting up the hill and finding a spot amongst the drunk kids staring at themselves. Standing at the back of the crowd of 8,000. Thought of Ben when I met him in 2000 at a festival in Spain. He was on the small stage then and I didn't know his name. Now he's singing at the Greek and he's busting moves. And my legs were hurting and my feet were too. I called him after, said I'll skip the backstage high bye. But thanks for the nice music and all the exercise. And we laughed and it was alright. And we laughed and it was alright. And it was alright. Between a middle-aged guy with a backstage pass, a guy with a gut hanging around like a jacket. Everybody there was 20 years younger at least. I'll leave with this, not my fondest memory. Carried my legs back down the hill, gave my backstage passage to cute Asian girls. Drove to my place near Tahoe, got in my hot tub and I thought, well that's how it goes. And it was quiet and I was listening to the crickets and Ben's still out there selling lots of tickets. And though I'm content, there's a tinge of competitiveness, but Ben's my friend and I know he gets it. Then a couple of days my meltdown passed.